What's up, you guys? My name's Aisha.
My name's Mariah.
And you are listening to your local brown girl podcast. I need to stop singing it every time I record because it's like a chronic issue, but you're still listening.
Yeah, you really do sing it every time. I feel like it's the jingle now.
No, for real. And then, like, I consistently hate myself for singing it. Like, it's more of an intro for me to say, you're looking around the podcast. I hate myself so much for singing that than it is for me to just say the title.
That's so true.
It's my brand. What can I say? For today's episode, Mariah Norman joins me. The voice. So I just get really self-aware, like, while I'm recording this. I'm like, is this what I'm, like, having conversations? No, this is exactly what I'm like. Anyway, today we're talking about college acceptances, applications, admissions. That was the word I was thinking of, too. I was like, what is it? Applications, admissions, acceptances. Girl, that's rule of three. For some reason, when things, like, apply to the rule of three, like, easily, I'm like, yup.
It's so yummy.
Yum, yum. That's my syntactical bone going off. You got a syntax bone.
Okay.
It's when you read something and you're real and you're like, satisfied. Yeah. I just made that up, but you wouldn't know the difference if I had it. No, yup. Yup. So, Mariah and I both have, I'd say, very different experiences in, like, the college application experience, like, process. But at the same time, we were both heavily involved in each other's process. Yeah. Like, Starbucks every day after school involved. Like, editing each other's essays.
We were a buddy system.
Yeah, sure. Yeah. And, like, trying to give each other advice and stuff like that. So it's definitely a time of reflection for us. Because we both have pretty good ideas of where we want to go now. We're definitely still in the thick of it, but, like, we can look back on it with some residual wisdom.
And it's kind of nice because we are all on the early round, so it's, like, very early to, like, know the idea of where we're going.
It's nice. It's very relaxing.
A lot of time to reflect.
Everyone listening right now is like, okay, but well, we get there?
But we hear the reflect.
We're just like, and we love that we can be done now and give advice to other people. So thanks so much for listening, guys.
And that's the end of the podcast.
This was our announcement.
That we are going to be reflecting in the next couple months.
Exactly, yeah. So you guys all know that the goal of the podcast is to always bring light to the opinions of women of color, because they're not really an opinion that people care about in modern conversation. So I'm just gonna stick our contributions in there, whether or not they want them. Mariah, would you want to start, and you can talk to us, like, about maybe your, how about, like, what your parents, you felt expected from your parents, like, did they go to college?
That's a good little segue. Okay, well, my mom and my dad both went to college, but they're sort of have, like, differing, is that a word, varying?
Yeah.
Like, experiences with it in a way. My mom was, like, first generation, so, like, she, back when, like, first generation, like, wasn't a thing, you know, like, people didn't say, like, oh, I'm first gen at college, you know, she just did it. and so she had to figure out the entire application process on her own, very much like she was not good at taking standardized tests.
Yeah.
She like is not like, she doesn't really like writing that much. It was very much, she just like was on her own trying to figure out the whole process.
Which is like a lot of first gen experiences. Exactly. Just like that.
Exactly. Still to this day. So she had that experience, and my dad, he came from like a family where like they were very much like more into like education, I guess.
Like they had a more not normal, but average expectation.
Yeah,
okay.
Exactly.
You'll go to a state school or something like that.
Exactly. Exactly like that. Because my dad went to a state school. So it was like, in that respect, I think my dad, like, while he came from a family that was way more, like, okay, like, traditional education, you go to college type of thing, he didn't care about it as much just because it was just, like, expected of him, and he didn't mind it. Like, he wanted to go to college. It was not a big deal, you know? He just
wasn't, like, the context of privilege,
you
know?
Yeah, exactly. It was just like, okay, you know, just go to college.
Yeah.
Versus my mom, it was like a sacrament.
Yeah.
You know, like her going to college was a huge deal in her family. And so it was like she has like so many fond memories of like getting dropped off and like picking out like, the football players on the team that she wanted to date. Like, she had a whole thing. Like, she was very much,
yes,
like,
Angela.
Exactly. Like, she was very much more involved in the college process. So, I feel like that sort of trickled down in a way that my mom has always been super, like, because her thing is always giving us better than what she had. Mm-hmm. So, in that respect, like, I started doing, like, studying for the ACT when I was, like, a sophomore. Like, she immediately put me in, yeah, like, in the beginning of my sophomore year, even though most people start taking tests junior year. And that was because she never had any sort of, like tutoring or any kind of experience with standardized testing. So, like, while it was a pain, mm-hmm, for me to do that, I understood why she was doing it and, like, obviously appreciated it a lot because it was meant a lot to her to be able to do that for us. So, like, with that, like, and me and my mom, I think, are just more alike in the way, and, like, the way that we, like, see goals and,
yeah,
like
you're both very goal and oriented.
Exactly. And we like to pursue things. Like, we like to have something to look forward to.
Yeah,
to,
like, as
after.
Mariah's friend, I can tell you that she's very much, like, when you think of her, any association with college is, like, yeah, she is top of her class. She's a genius, first of all. Like, she has all the GPAs, all the clubs, all the everythings. Like, Mariah is a very well-rounded student. And it's very easy to see where it comes from. Like, obviously, love your mom. She's my best friend, even though she doesn't reply to my texts. It's fine.
That was so shady.
No, I literally sent her mom a TikTok, and she didn't reply to me. She
that
left
was actually
me on red.
Rude. That
no,
was rude. I still need to talk to her about that.
No, we need to have an episode about
this. We need to have an intervention.
Red table talk. Mariah, Angela, and me.
We bring my mom in. And we're like, yeah.
Don't tell her. We're like, we want to hear about your experience as a businesswoman. Talk to us. But also, so the busy schedule, do you not reply to people's texts?
Specifically, Aisha's?
Maybe mine? Maybe this one that I sent two weeks ago at 3:05 p.m.
Exactly.
So you guys can look out for that episode.
Yeah.
But I definitely, like, if, for the people that don't know her, like, that is who she is. Or at least how you, I'd say, is a good way to describe it. I think for a lot of women of color who have any sort of relationship with their mom, it doesn't even have to be a really great one, you carry the burden of your mother. So daughters of color carry their mom's burdens so heavily because it's unfortunate, but it's just, there are many, you know, like, simply their existence comes with a lot of problems and sacrifices. And then getting to the point of being a mother, you know, they have so much sacrifice to get there. And both of our moms are working moms. So I think as two girls that my cat is literally going crazy and just fell off the bed. It looked like she just jumped off a building.
Yeah.
Girl, you good? We got an ambulance back there for you?
Yeah, all right,
girl.
She good.
I think as people who grew up with hardworking mothers, we carry that burden. And it's partially a great thing. Like, it gives us a lot of drive, but it's partially a very toxic thing. It's very poisonous, and it can give you this imposter syndrome and can give you this feeling of, like, you aren't doing enough and you're not, you know, ever really complete, even though it's like, whoa, let's take a second and breathe. There's a lot that I've done. It's very impressive.
Exactly. Like, I feel like, I grew up with my mom saying, like, literally a mantra she would say to me all the time from, like, age 5 was, like, you have to work twice as hard to be at the same level as, like, these people. And, like, obviously she meant, like, white people, white males, you know? Like, she would always say that you have to work twice as hard to be at the same level. So imagine how hard you have to work to be, to get ahead. And so, like, with that mindset, like, just going into everything I do, like, that exactly what you're talking about, like, that burden. And burden makes it seem like it has a negative connotation. Sometimes it does. But sometimes it's also really motivating.
Yeah.
And I feel like getting older is, like, a part of that is, like, as you grow up and you become more of, like, a woman instead of just, like, a little girl, you know, you start to understand more about, like, your mom, which I think is a really interesting thing. And, like, understanding why they do the things they do and, like, appreciating, but also sometimes being, like, that's not good for, like, you know, different things that they've done. But also at the same time knowing that, like, you know, they're a mom, you know, and, like, what motherhood is like. But that's a whole separate
topic. Yeah, I'm saying, like, there's a whole episode in there, bro. Like, we both have interesting relationships with our mom. So the way that plays into education is huge.
It's huge.
especially, I think, in the stories of a lot of women of color, because say you're not, you know, like, let's take my mom, for example, if we want to talk about, like, my upbringing a little bit. My parents, obviously, both born in Pakistan. I was born in Pakistan as well. So my parents both had, I guess you could say, the American equivalent of associate's degrees when they left Pakistan. But it's not, even today, not super common for women to be working or be going to school. You know, it's very much get married off, your husband will work. But not all families are like that anymore. All the women in my family work that I know of, they work and their husbands work as well. But, you know, it's just a family to family thing. But I'd say most of Pakistan has stuck to housewife situation, mom stays at home, stay at home vibe. But my grandfather was actually a really big part of Pakistani parliament, and he was, so I'd say, yeah, one of the first people in my family to ever think it was okay for a woman to get an education, point blank, period, let alone an education far away from home, because they let my khala, who's my aunt, go away to medical school in Pakistan. She's 20 years older than my mom. So oh, wow. She's like at 80, 70-ish now. So that was a very long time ago for a woman to go away to a co-ed school, let alone a medical school, is a huge deal. And then she ended up practicing in America, and that's like even bigger. But like, yeah. For that to happen to her really had an impact on my mom. I can tell, like, because she's also in the medical field now, and when she came to America, she was a teacher for a really long time. She taught kids in lower income areas, and she taught kids who had Luna, please, girl. Luna said yes, I agree. She taught kids who dropped out of college, not college, high school, and wanted to get their GED. And she taught in a, like, downtown Cincinnati, for people that aren't from Ohio, it's a black area. Like, they're all black kids. And I remember when I was a little kid going to see my tiny little mom in her little headscarf, going to the graduation of one of her classes. And I was maybe, like, 7 or 8. So let's keep that in mind when we're imagining this. There were, like, these 3 or 4, like, black kids that came up to us. They were amazing kids, but I was scared shitless because they were muscular as fuck, okay? And they were like these 6'5" tall black men. They could have literally been like 5 feet tall.
I don't know where this is going.
No, oh yeah, yeah. I'm like, they're gonna jump us. They could have been like 5 feet tall, but like I was 8, so I was like, they're gonna kill us. And they came up and my mom gave, it was literally, I'm literally gonna start tearing up. It was the sweetest interaction I've ever seen my mom have with people before. And she has sons of her own, you know what yeah. I mean? But she took these people, and education was such a big thing for them, that these people that, like, looked super scary for a second to me, in a second looked like brothers. And it all melted away. And I think that taught me a lot about how people who look different from you are not, could be related to you. You yeah. know what I mean? Because if your mother treats people the same way that she treats her sons, then how can you ever look at someone like that as threatening? You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I feel like that's a big problem with why a lot of white people don't have that same view on things, mm-hmm. because they never see their parents respect people that look like that in that way. You know yeah. what I mean? But yeah, so I, and she was, like, giving them kisses on the forehead and being like, I'm so proud of you. And she's, like, so short. Yeah. And they were so tall, so it was, like, they had to, like, bend down. And it was, like, a very, very adorable experience. And as I grew up and as I saw people depict black men in this thug light, in this light of, you know, criminals, in any light that they were ever being depicted in media, yeah. And as Black Lives Matter movement had their resurgence this past year, that is just, that memory to me was everything, because I was like, these are people that are trying to get their education. These are people that my mom taught, and I could never in my life see them in another way. So that's what education ended up meaning to me. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Because
I always saw it in the light of the way that people who weren't already given access to it.
Yeah.
Even though I...
It's a bridge. Education's a bridge.
Exactly. Even though I had been able to access it, luckily for myself, I just was so, so... It was just huge to me. Like, it was so important to me that I was able to help people the way that she was able to help people, in the way that those young men who graduated that day would be able to then go on and help people. Because once you get your GED, you're actually able to move on to higher education.
Yeah.
And I think coming to a public school, and Mariah and I obviously go to the same school, coming to a public school where college, like you said, with your dad, was more of an expected thing than it was something that you do because you want to have a career that means something to help people, mm-hmm. and rather seeing it as like, oh my god, Luna moving under this blanket.
She's literally off the chain right
it's
now.
It's so funny. Oh, hey baby. She's literally
like, eyes on me, please.
Help. She's just having a good time. I think that that's the problem with a lot of people that don't understand higher education.
Yeah.
They don't see that, yeah, you don't need it, but for the people that are seeking it out for the right reasons, it's everything.
Yeah, I wish it wasn't as, like, casual and, like, just, like, looked over, like, to go to college, like, especially, like, talking about, like, being at a public school, like, at, or insert high school.
Bro, the way we've said it so many, like, I literally am so splotchy with whether or not I mention things that I really just hope no one tries to kill me. At this point, yeah. I'm like, y'all, just please don't do it.
Yeah. Hey, you got me, just don't get me.
You got me, don't get me. All right.
Exactly.
But yeah, so like a very white, very privileged public school.
Yeah, yeah. And I feel like it makes me sad because people will get into schools and I'm like, oh my God, that's awesome. Like, I get excited when anyone gets into any school because I just think like college is such a monumental thing. Like the decision to go to college and, like, commit to your education like that, like, no matter where you go, like, that is so respectable. Like,
yeah.
And, like, people just be like, oh, yeah, like, it's whatever. I'm going there because, like, my parents, like, went there. Like, it's whatever.
Yeah, like people's parents paying them to apply to colleges.
Yeah,
or like
people literally bribing them to be like, okay, if you apply to the scholarship, I'll give you $20.
Yeah.
I'm like, what?
Or, like, paying their kids to, like, get good grades. Or, like, if their kid gets into X and Y college, they'll get this vacation.
Yeah.
Like, I understand that.
Like, the incentive.
I guess, whatever. But, like, for someone whose parents didn't care at all when they got into one of the most prestigious universities in America, like, me? I don't know, man. I don't know if I could ever justify giving someone money to apply to a scholarship. Like, everything I've done in terms of education has been me. Like, 100% me.
Yeah.
Because my eldest brother, as a lot of y'all know, I'm sure a lot of y'all are brown, you know, like, what Pakistani expectations are on your kids. My eldest brother went to med school and dropped out. He had so much pressure put on him from my parents. And then my middle brother, you know, went to med school. And then finally got around to me, and my parents were like, you know what? Maybe we shouldn't pressure her into doing what we want her to do.
Mm-hmm.
And that just ended up being perfect for me because I ended up being the kind of kid who cared about where they ended up going, the kind of kid who cared about scholarships and stuff like that without ever being asked by my parents to do it.
Yeah.
Like how Mariah said that she started ACT tutoring in sophomore year. For people that aren't from America, ACT is like a test that tells them how smart you are.
Yeah, it's like an aptitude test.
Yeah, it's an aptitude test. Means nothing unless you're rich. But that for that test, I started studying for it on my own in middle school with my parents not even asking me to or wanting me to, you know?
Yeah.
So because students are so different and they are brung up so differently, it's just kind of ignorant to expect the application and admissions process to be so monolithic and to mm-hmm. be so similar for people.
Yeah.
Because just us two, we're a lot more similar than anyone else I know.
Yeah.
And yet we still have so much nuance and so much difference in our stories. So I think knowing now that we both really value education is a good segue into us talking about like our actual experiences. I know Mariah, like, you don't actually, I had to pause. Miss Luna, are you still okay? Okay, yeah, she's still alive. If anyone was wondering, she should have her own podcast. Like,
she should.
Literally a mini pod, like us in the background, like talking, and then her just meowing into the mic and breathing.
Yeah.
But Mariah, if you want to talk about, just your experience, do you want to tell anyone where you're going, or do you just want to say, like, a general Ivy League?
I mean, I can...
Mariah's going to Harvard, so she is actually a genius. Everyone, get it out of the way now. Be impressed, whatever. We know we can't hear you, but we know you're cheering her on. Do you want to talk about, like, the experiences that you had applying and the pressures that you felt there that you think maybe other Harvard applicants didn't have?
Yeah, sure. So yes, as you said, I'm going to Harvard in the fall. And with that comes so much weird stuff to feel. But I would say that, like, leading up to it, like,
oh my god, wait, also I hate doing this because it's so fucking weird to say out loud. But since it's an auditory podcast, Mariah is Blake.
Yeah.
So like, I am Blake woman. She's Blake woman. So this is like a Black female experience.
Yes.
So when you
from that perspective.
Yeah, when you're hearing it, this is not like a white woman.
Yeah, just
because if you listen to a white woman's story, it's gonna be very, very different. So yeah, go ahead.
So for me, I always, like, as a little girl, I was like, oh my god, dream school, Harvard, haha. Yeah. Mostly just because it was like the best school, just the ones you hear about, you know. And then, like, as I got older, it's like, I'm obviously not going just for the prestige because that'd be stupid. Mm. But like, it was just always my dream school, you know? So like, whenever I was little, like, even growing up and like getting into like middle school and stuff, like, it'd be like, oh my god, do you know anything about like what you want to do or whatever? And I'd be like, yeah, like, my dream school is Harvard or whatever. And like, people would literally always laugh, like, doctor's offices, like, going to the dentist, people at the store. Literally, I got laughed at so much that, like, by the time that I actually got to the age where it's like, you're starting to apply to school, like now. And even freshman and sophomore year, like, I stopped saying I was applying to Harvard. Damn. Like, people, like, literally only people in my very, very close circle knew that I was applying. Because, like, any time that I would say it, it was, like, very much like, oh, like, if they didn't laugh in your face, it was like, okay, like, literally a pipe dream.
For some reason, it's the same reaction you get when you're, like, when someone's, like, oh, you're so pretty. And you're, like, oh, my gosh, thank you so much. I was, like, oh, so you think you're pretty? What the fuck? Like, be like, oh, you're applying to Harvard. Do people not know it's an actual school? Like, you apply there. That's how you get in, bitch.
I know. Yeah, exactly. It's very much a mystical land.
Yeah,
I feel like.
Very weird.
Yeah. So there's that. And I didn't tell, like, pretty much anyone. And whenever people would ask, I had the classic line. I would be like, I'm just applying everywhere, really just, like, seeing what happens. Like, that's literally what I would always say. Mm-hmm. Where I'd be like, oh, I'm still looking at options or whatever. And if my mom was in the room, she'd be like, yeah, she's going to Harvard.
Period!
And I'd be like, girl, please. Please stop putting me through this. But she just had a lot of faith in me, you know? She was my hype man.
And she should have, because you died.
I did it, apparently. Apparently. Yeah. And, anytime that we were, like, anywhere, she'd be like, yeah, because she'll be, like, in, like, Boston next year. And I'll be like, girl, stop. Stop, because I'm not. So, it very much, I just didn't want, because I had felt it so many times of people, like, underestimating me and being, like, even if I was, like, if you're, like, at a table, like, at classmates, you know, like, in a class or whatever, and especially when you get into, like, honors, AP classes and stuff,
God.
Like, when you're talking about college and stuff, like, there is just this, like, weight that I feel like comes over when you are, like, I mean, and I can only speak from a Black girl's experience, but, like, when you are a Black woman and you, like, talk about applying to, like, Ivy League schools, like, it's just the air is, like, affirmative action is, like, literally the elephant in the room, because everyone is thinking it and being like, oh, she's gonna have an easier time.
Yeah.
Because she's Black. Like, she's gonna get in because she's Black.
Absolutely.
Like, and people have literally, like...
Not that I believe that. I'm not absolutely to that, but, like, absolutely, that's a very common experience, and it's disgusting.
Yeah, exactly. And so, like, from all of that, like, you hear people talking about, like, I've sat down in classes and, like, people talking about affirmative action it just outwardly being like, oh yeah, it's so unfair how people can get in just because of their race,
which
or whatever.
Is not what affirmative action is.
That's not what
at
it
all.
Is, first of all, but okay.
For people that, wait, can I just define what affirmative action actually is? For people listening that maybe aren't from the States or just ignorant, affirmative action, or just stupid, affirmative action is not, this is like what the misconception is, that people of color, minorities, are given opportunities that the rest of the student body is not given, and or the opportunities that the entire student body is given, people of color and minorities are given preferred treatment, and they are allowed in. If you're looking in a college perspective, they're allowed in even if they don't have the same statistics behind their education and their academics as a white counterpart. So the idea is, like, you just don't have to work as hard because you'll get in because of your skin color, which affirmative action in actuality, in real practice, is literally...
It's really just literally, taking skin color into account. That's all it is.
It just gives... tools, basic tools to kids that don't have them. And is it taking away those tools from the kids that already have them? No. Not at all threatening them. It literally creates an even playing field, and that's why white people are upset by it.
Yeah.
Because they're so used to having an uneven playing field. They're so used to having their parents talk about, oh, before we had affirmative action, you know, you could actually have a chance of this, but now that these immigrants are coming in, there's damn people of color.
Yeah.
That's just not the case. Affirmative action creates a level playing field. And the fact, and if you think that it gives an advantage to other people, maybe it's because you were already being given that advantage and you're not used to other people having it as well.
Yeah.
So maybe you just need to be better.
Exactly.
So sorry, keep going.
No, you're fine. I appreciate it. But I've also had people like insinuate like what you're saying, like insinuate that like, oh, like, okay, because you are a black girl, like, oh, you're gonna get in, but, like, oh, this white guy didn't get in because he's white, you know, like, that kind of thing. And it's just, like, all of that going into it, like, I just didn't want to deal with it, so I just didn't tell anyone I was applying. I was like, look, I'm gonna exit the conversation, I'm gonna move in silence.
Exactly.
Because like, most of the schools I applied to, like, half the schools I applied to were reaches, so, like, like, Ivy Leagues or, like, Duke or Georgetown, you know, which actually didn't end up applying, but we'll get to that later. But most people didn't know that, you know, like, whenever I talked about college, it was just very general, like, oh my god,
because,
college
like,
applications.
Because, you were in an environment where people didn't want to see you succeed.
Yeah.
If people wanted to see you succeed, then they would, not only would they be excited for you that you're applying to Harvard, but they would tell you that you have a legitimate chance, and they would try to help you with that chance, because... if you get into Harvard, then that's one less spot for them. And that's, I know for a fact, that's the way that a lot of people look at it. And it's, oh, Luna was literally sleeping. Okay, sorry. She just loves my voice. It's very calming. Everyone listening just rolled their eyes simultaneously. And when people don't want to see you succeed, that is so, so nauseating to me that you just... instead of being like, well, this is how my life is and this is how it's gonna be because I'm working for it. Like, any white guy could have been, you know, any old Brad or Chad could have been like, I'm gonna go to Harvard, and everyone be like, okay, purr.
Yeah.
No, you had to feel like a threat because...
I feel like whenever you say that, like, no matter what age you are, it makes me feel like a little girl. Like, that's the only way to describe it. Like, I feel very much patronized.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if I was to ever say, like, oh, yeah, I'm applying to Harvard or whatever, it's like, okay, weirdo. Like,
yeah.
Good luck with that, little girl. Like, you're very naive to think that you could stand a chance kind of thing. So, just didn't tell anyone.
Yeah.
So, that was my
And then
solution.
She got in, so...
So, then I was like, hey, guys, by the way, I applied to Harvard, and I also got in.
And then we are seeing very different behaviors from the people around us. And those same people who thought it was a pipe dream suddenly become very supportive.
Yeah.
Which...
very weird.
Very weird.
So much
how that
weird
works.
Things surrounding college acceptances.
Because for me... as an American, the American college system is just a representation of classism. It like, is. It's just disguised classism. And it's a way for people to... Like, when you really break down each step of it, it's a way for people who have more privilege to stunt that privilege and to... to show off that privilege. And for people who aren't don't have that privilege, it's for another opportunity for them to feel lesser than. Let's take standardized testing. You can get tutored. I chose not to get tutored, but I still had the opportunity to pay to have books. And those are expensive. Those are about $50 a test booklet. Tutoring is extremely expensive. Let's say you don't have access to either of those. So other kids are getting better scores than you for reasons that are not whatsoever aligned with their academics.
Yeah, I wouldn't have gotten as good of scores if I didn't have access to tutoring.
Exactly. Like, it has nothing to do with their work ethic. And then let's take into account college essays. I am a college essay tutor, and I have been for about 4 or 5 years. I charge a lot of money. And obviously, not everyone, if anything, most people can't afford to have a tutor with help them with their essay. That's simply not how it works. So now you're having a kid, say there's a kid who doesn't have the privilege to do either of those things, he has to compete against a kid that has both of those advantages. And then you go to your actual application. Was your parent someone who had gone to this school? Well, why is that a question? Because that's not fair. That's something that happened to me before I was even conceived. Right. And yet it's having an impact on my college application process. That's how you know it's classist, because it's based on years of history that came before you. You can't control any of that. A lot of that is outside of your control. What you can control is your work ethic, your education, not obviously the output of it, but what you put into it. Mm-hmm. You can control all these things. And even still, if you take away all these layers of privilege, when you consider how GPAs work, how grades work, it's not the smartest kids, it's the kids that learn the system. And that does not mean that if you have a high GPA, you're not one of the smartest kids. It means that if you have a high GPA, it is not the requirement to be a smart kid. Like, that is simply, you still have to prove yourself to me.
I'm such a firm believer of that. Like, I have literally, I have a 4.4, I think, GPA.
Per.
Not a, whatever. But anyway, but like, I literally.
I have a 3.2, if anyone wanted to know.
But I'm such an advocate that it literally means nothing. Like, maybe that's just, you know, just
imposter syndrome
as well. But, like, it literally, exactly what you were saying, like, it just means that I'm good at school. Like, it does not mean that I'm like, okay, yeah, you're, like, the smartest person ever or whatever. It just means I know how to go to school and I know how to do school well. And school was built for, like, a student like me, you know? Like, yeah. I know how to work the system and get the grades that I need to, and I enjoy going to school, you know? Like, that in itself, most kids don't enjoy
exactly,
that.
Exactly, yeah.
So that in itself can, like, help you just do better at it if it's something that you're more inclined to,
right, you
know, just like, I guess.
Using this system that impacts so many people differently as a one-all.
One-size-fits-all. It doesn't make any sense.
Doesn't make any sense. So now once we get past the actual applications, let's look at colleges themselves. Why is it that in our modern just zeitgeist conversation about college, it's trade school, then it's community college, then it's a state school, then it's an Ivy League queen? What?
I know.
If I have to say queen, that's how you know that's disgusting me. If I need to inhabit a new character to tell you off, listen. The amount of people that, I'm sorry, I published this blog post about community colleges, and the amount of people that reached out to me after that post published and being like, thank you, because I really did not feel like going to a community college was a viable option, and I felt kind of ashamed. Does not make any freaking sense to me.
I literally think it's the same accomplishment. Like, I can't not say this with any more genuineness. Authenticity. That would be a better word to use. It's
and you got into Harvard, you said.
Yeah, okay, yeah,
I did. You're like, oh. But you said, yeah, and then you were like, oh.
Oh, yeah.
But literally, it is literally the same accomplishment. I cannot express this enough. Because, like, it's everyone's a different person.
Hardship comes in so many forms.
Yeah, and who, not everyone fucking wants to go to an Ivy League. Exactly. Like, same way, it's not everyone would do well at trade school. I would be awful at trade school.
Yeah.
I literally would flunk.
People that so it's like, graduate from trade schools often have higher paying jobs.
Exactly. Like, it just doesn't make any sense to me how you could even compare. It's like apples and oranges. Like, because it's like, do you like apples or do you like oranges? Like, it's just, yeah. That's all it depends on for me. So it's just, it's very weird to me, like, the whole system of, like, elitism and, like, when you're, like, especially because I'm going to be in, you know, the Ivy League or whatever.
Yeah, exactly.
It, like, just all of that weirdness that comes with, like, you know, like, who is deserving of it and, like, what do you do now that you have, like, the opportunity to be at an institution mm-hmm. like this? It's like, it's just very overwhelming, and there's a lot of, like, imposter syndrome that comes with it as well, trust me.
Yeah.
And it's just, like, it's just very weird. Like, there's no other word to describe it except for weird, because you throw a bunch of kids in here, and, like, I've met, like, just through, like, GroupMe and stuff, like, so many incredible kids, that, like, also got into Harvard, early action, and, like, everyone is shocked that they got in. Like, exactly. It's not like the kind of kids that are like, oh yeah, of course I'm a shoo-in, like I knew I was gonna get in. Like, I haven't met anyone like that. Everyone is like, how
because
did I
those
get
kids
here?
Don't get in.
Exactly.
Spoiler alert, Brittany.
It literally, it's like, it's the most humble group of people I've
Brittany's
ever
not
around.
A real person, if you haven't been able to tell. I use white people names like a disposable straw, if you will,
like a seasoning. but yeah, like, it's really the most, so much humility, in the group of people. So it's just, it's very interesting, because it's like, there's also, there has to be a bunch of kids there that also, like, think they're the shit, you know?
Yeah, but early action kids are typically the smartest, so that's probably why they're not in that group.
Okay, whatever. But
to the end. All right.
maybe they're
just
hiding.
Me flirting with Mariah for
literally,
45 minutes.
Literally. Maybe they're just hiding. Who knows where they are? But it's just a very weird, because everybody there is like, how did I get here?
Yeah.
But it's also like, I'm gonna make the best of it.
I think you make a really good point about elitism and, like, acknowledging it, because when you look at the beneficiary of this college system, like, you have, when you look at any system that is built on classism, you have to wonder, okay, someone's benefiting from this, who is it?
Mm-hmm.
Well, what happens when you graduate from college? Say you graduated from Harvard versus graduating from, I don't know, fucking Syracuse University in New York, all right? That's a really great school, just it's not Harvard. Once you graduate from those two schools and you enter the workforce, that's when you really realize, oh, this is why college is the way it is, because of capitalism. Everything
goes back to
roots
capitalism.
In capitalism. So because true. When you go to a place that is super concentrated in people that went to trade schools as a Ivy League grad, you're going to get a job like that. But when you go to a area that's super concentrated in Ivy League grads, then you are going to be in the super competitive arena.
Mm-hmm.
So it's kind of like, wait a minute, maybe these skills that I've been given aren't that valuable. Maybe this title I've been given isn't that valuable. It just depends where I am.
Yeah.
And that's
what you do with it.
What you do with it.
Because I could also, like, in like, when I think about what I want to do in the future, like, I definitely know I want to go to law school. As of now, I could leave as, like, an environmental science major.
Sorry about the interruption, guys. was I talking or were
oh,
you talking?
Oh, I was about law
go
school.
Ahead.
we don't even know. But, like, I definitely want to go to law school or whatever. But, like, people are like, oh, you're going to be making that bag or whatever because I'm going to Harvard. I'm like, girl, I might not be, though. Because, like, I want to do, like, criminal defense. I'm talking, like,
not
nonprofit
lucrative.
Work. Yeah, like, literally, I don't want to be some, like, big business lawyer, at least as of now. Like, I want to literally do, like, nonprofit, pro bono, like, type of work. I wanna
and
be,
it's not like,
like,
there's anything wrong with that. It's just that the system, the college system, isn't made for people to graduate college to go into non-lucrative fields. And that's how it then continues to feed into capitalism. So when you say, oh, I don't want to go to a community college because you look down on people that go to community colleges, you're just doing exactly what old white men want you to do. So I hope you feel proud of yourself, because that's a little pathetic and you should be embarrassed. But you have your little piece of paper that means nothing, that has a couple numbers on it. Is that worth your mental health and the treatment of other people? No, absolutely not. And I was probably, like, I want to reiterate that I don't take away any value from Ivy Leagues. I come from a family where, obviously, you guys know my parents did not go to Ivy Leagues. They had very difficult, they have tough times getting their educations. My mom went to school to become a nurse practitioner while all of her kids were in school, and she was, you know, the oldest student there, obviously, so she definitely went through it. But, like, my extended family, other younger immigrants, like my cousins, they all went to Ivy Leagues, and that added another extra layer of confusion and, you know, competition and pressure to me to succeed, because, like, if they can do it, and they did it because their family, their mother, their father, they sacrificed so much to get their kids here, to get to that system, you know, I let myself be pressured by that. Mm-hmm. And then when I woke up and when I realized I don't benefit from this pressure, someone who is going to make money off of me in the future benefits from this pressure.
Yeah.
It helps so much. It's definitely not the end all. You know, you're definitely still going to have to convince yourself that you're not less than or more than mm-hmm. for something as stupid as college. But, and literally me talking about, like, how much I love education. But, like, you guys know what I mean. The system of college. Mm-hmm. Education and college, you know, they're different. You can get an education, but you don't have to ever step foot into a college building. You can graduate high school and then become a millionaire without ever going to a higher education.
Exactly.
Institution. I, as I already said, 3.2 GPA, you know, I very much struggled with this school system. Mariah's been in lots of classes with me. I am not in class a lot because I have chronic illnesses that, you know, keep me out of the classroom. I have to go to the hospital a lot. And I have very, very hard time self-motivating because I have majorly depressive disorder. So, like, getting my antidepressants and getting my motivation to be on the same schedule as school is not just, it's not a thing that works, you know? Right. So it's all fun and games, you know, being a freshman and, like, freaking out over school and all that crazy stuff. But then once you actually enter an arena where other people look at you differently because of your grades, you really need to make a decision. You need to choose, is this something that I'm going to assign my value as a person to? And if it is, that is a pattern that you're going to follow for the rest of your life. You're going to assign your value to your paycheck. You're going to assign your value to what other people give it. And that is not a self-fulfilling way to live. And the only reason why I know that is because I've already lived like that. It's not a life worth living.
Very true.
I, 8th grade, middle school, baby Aisha, all right? Failing English. 8th grade English. I had an F. Big F. I never turned in assignments. I never did my work. Nothing. My counselor calls me in because I have great state testing scores on English. Like, I'm, if y'all don't know me now, but, like, English is my huge thing. I'm a writing tutor. It's what I do. You know what I mean? So it's like, what was going on then? You know what I mean? And she talked to me and she was like, I know something's up. Like, I'm supposed to just send you to summer school because of these grades, but something's up. Like, what's happening here? You're smart. And then I said, no, I'm not. And she said, prove to me you're not smart. Because I have all this proof right now that you are smart. I have your standardized testing. I have these prompts. I've had these essays. I have all this stuff. What do you have to prove to me that you're not smart? My grades.
Right.
I don't think that a letter really does determine as much as people think it does.
Mm-hmm.
I really don't think that that's the case. And there is a significant portion of Generation Z that thought they were going to not be alive to see themselves graduate high school. People that are victims of, whether it be suicidal thoughts or actual suicide attempt, I attempted suicide specifically in the peak of my stress about college, and it was, funnily enough, sophomore year, which would, if you don't go to an American high school, sophomore year is literally your second year of high school. No one cares about college at this point.
Yeah, no.
But I was such a driven and insane person that I had interviews with admissions counselors at Ivy Leagues, and they gave me so much pressure, and I genuinely just thought that I was not enough, that I thought that I had to die over it. I thought that my life wasn't worth living over it.
Mm-hmm.
And I did that because of people that I don't even know who benefit from me killing myself over this system. Really think about that. You know, like, I'm really happy for myself. I'm really proud of myself for getting where I am now. But that doesn't mean that I'm going to take that pride and I'm going to be like, hey, college is great. School is great because I ended up being better because of it. No, I can acknowledge that I did better than what people wanted me for me and what people expected of me, while still telling those same people, hey, you don't get to support me now that I've made it.
Yeah.
Now that I've actually proven to you what I can do, I'm actually going to go back and I'm going to tell you everything you're doing wrong.
Mm-hmm.
I've had teachers that I've hated reach out to me and be like, great work on blah, 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 great work on this, great work on that. Absolutely not. And then I've sent back a huge email, thank you very much, but this is why you have nothing to do with it. And I think there's value in that. I know a lot of people think, oh, you know, you can't get anywhere without hate to motivate you to do it. No, I think you can. I just think that's what people who hate people say. And yeah. I think that's people who don't want to stop being toxic and poisonous to other people's education say. So that's my experience, my viewpoint on it. You've heard.
Yeah.
Miss Marty, do you have like any, do you want to like conclusive?
Man, I have I have literally just so many thoughts about this topic. I literally want to make like a YouTube video, just drop literally one video being like, here's my advice.
Listen.
Literally, yeah. Listen. If you ever listen to anything I've ever said, let it be this.
This is it.
Because there's just so much, like, whether it's like imposter syndrome or like basing
take
your value.
Take a shot every time we talk about imposter syndrome.
Literally, but but not just imposter syndrome, but like also like assigning your value based off of like what you do versus who you are.
Yeah.
I think that is something that like I could go on a whole tangent about.
Definitely,
like literally, the idea of like college admissions and like resume building and that kind of culture that we grew up with as well, which we didn't really have time to go into as much, but that was a huge thing.
Resume building makes no sense.
Exactly. And like we go to like this public school where like literally kids like would accuse me of doing stuff just for my resume. I was like, just because that's what you do does not mean that's what I'm doing.
Don't project your elitism onto me, babe.
Exactly. So
not everyone has as fucked up of a mentality as you do.
Literally. So That could be, I need to figure out a way to get my thoughts out about that.
I need to start my own podcast and make one episode.
One. I literally just need to drop one and be
the
like,
the title of the podcast, one. My one episode.
Literally, be like, here's my advice. It's just called my advice.
Everything.
After going through all of this. But,
give it.
Also, weird tidbit. Oh. I'm sorry.
No.
One last thing. Isn't it weird that, like, where we go to college and like the decisions that we make about our education and application process and stuff, that's like generational like repercussions.
Yeah.
Because like we talk about our parents and how that's like influenced us and how that could influence my kids.
Yeah.
Like someone was saying, like, because we were talking about how like fucked up legacy is pretty much.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like technically our kids would have legacy, and we're all like,
What?
Wait, like, we're literally part of the institution that, like, we're like, this is messed up.
Exactly.
So, that's my last little tidbit. I don't know the answers, but I think
That's exactly the point of this podcast.
Yeah.
We don't know the answers, and it's because we are the problem.
Yeah.
So, I feel like, we're part of the solution also, because people like us that are, you know, entering these arenas of higher education,
you know,
and that are like, hey, no, that's not okay. They haven't been there before. It's a lot like how in Congress people are like, whoa, how is this all happening, you know? Stop. think about how the fact that these women of color have not been there before.
Yeah.
That's why. So we've not been there before. And now that we are, they're not going to get rid of us. It's really a cycle that it's easy to look at in a negative light. It's easy to be like, well, you're just contributing to the thing that's the monster, you know. You live in America, okay? If you live in this country, you're contributing to the monster. All right, babe? Yeah. So let's reel it in. Don't throw stones in a glass house, ma'am. That does not mean that just because you're contributing to that privileged monster does not mean that you're not also a part of the solution. Like, you have to contribute to it to be a part of the solution. Otherwise, no one's going to listen to you. And if you want to be alone on a soapbox, then you do that. But I don't. I want a podcast that has hundreds of viewers, so. Oh, wait.
Wait a minute.
We might have just come full circle.
Yep.
Yup. I think.
There is no end.
There is no end. 24-hour podcast. like those lo-fi playlists.
Yeah, just live stream.
Us live streaming constantly. Live streaming, because Mariah and I are in the same classes, like, every day. Bro. Live streaming us at class.
Bro, you would get so much credit for that. So you'd be carrying those classes on your back. And I'm like, I thought the poem was good. And
yeah, you're like, AP Lit. Shut up. I do not say. Listen, anything I say in that class does not make
any sense. I know what you're going to say, and it's not
It
right.
does not make any sense.
Silencio.
Well, that was good. Who gonna outro this shit then?
I know. Okay.
Well, she said, "Well, you can talk
having
to
a little
the
side
outro.
Combo."
Oh yeah, we did. My bad, guys. Thank you guys so much for listening. I really, really enjoy this episode. If it does well, maybe we'll do another episode talk about other parts of that experience, because I know we did something like that for other topics, just because people really like those episodes. And I think if I'm going to leave you with a little piece of advice, I would say there is genuinely no one out there who can want you to succeed in a way that it'll work besides yourself. Like, that is it. And it sucks, but it's the truth. And when you find those people who you see in their eyes, you know, they also want you to succeed, that is so valuable, and you need to hold on to it. Like, Mariah and I, when in the beginning of our friend, like, you told me that you were interested in Harvard, I think. You didn't, maybe you, I saw it on your spam or something.
Yeah.
But as soon as I found out that you wanted to go to an Ivy League, we were not close friends at all. But I really wanted to help you get there. Like, that was very important to me, because I knew that after, you know, being in a family with that context, that we need those people in that environment. Otherwise, the environments aren't going to change.
You edited my essays for free, girl.
Don't tell people that.
I could never. That is literally the nicest thing ever. I literally think about that all the time.
I just hope you guys that are listening find those people, and then you can also want them to succeed, because that's how life keeps living. That makes sense.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mariah, you got any advice, any closing thoughts, or you want me to just shut it down?
Shut it down, baby.
Mariah, like, babe, I'm trying to watch John Mulaney and get out of here.
Yeah, let's watch John Mulaney.
Mariah's so comfy in her little pajamas watching John Mulaney.
Yeah, I am in my pajamas right now.
Thank you guys so much for listening. Thank you, Mariah, so much for all your thoughts, and I really appreciate it. My name is Aisha.
My name is Mariah.
And you just listened to... My name's Luna. You just listened to a lovely episode of Your Local Brown Girl Podcast. You guys stay safe and happy out there.